VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
We thank you for joining us today here on Crosstalk as an impeachment trial is underway, as the Senate had opportunity yesterday to stop this trial from going forth. However, there are a number of Republicans that joined with the senators, the Democratic senators, in order to advance this trial. This impeachment trial underway in the United States for former President Donald Trump. The charge, incitement of insurrection. According to the accusation, the article states that President Trump gravely endangered the security of the United States and its institutions of government. It states he threatened the integrity of the democratic system, interfered with the peaceful transition of power, and imperiled a coordinate branch of government. He thereby betrayed his trust as president to the manifest injury of the people of the United States. The rhetoric, ladies and gentlemen, is amazing, as impeachment managers from the House made outlandish accusations saying, quote, he summoned a mob to Washington, exhorted them into a frenzy, and aimed them like a loaded cannon down Pennsylvania Avenue. It's amazing. As this trial has now gotten underway, and there is much that we're going to unfold. We're anticipating a hearing from Rick Green momentarily here to deal with this issue today. As they have said that this whole procedural aspect, the constitutional aspect, legal maneuvers have many twists and turns to them, and it really resembles show trials that were used by Stalin for propaganda purposes in the Soviet Union. Well, friends, we understand that even as this is going on, that the U.S. Supreme Court has refused to participate in it. Right now we have with us Rick Green, an attorney, constitutional expert, a former Texas state rep, and founder of the leadership group Patriot Academy. Rick, thank you so much for joining us today.
Hey, Jim, my pleasure, man. Thanks for having me on.
I'd like to just begin by airing an audio clip to show how far off the charts this rhetoric is flowing. I mean, this is Maxine Waters last Tuesday, MSNBC, saying that the former president should be charged, listen to this, folks, charged with premeditated murder. Here's what she had to say.
But what's so interesting about all of this is they try to make themselves the victim when indeed they are following the president of the United States of America, who had advanced planning about the invasion that took place in our Capitol. And even there's information that some of the planning came out of individuals working in his campaign. As a matter of fact, he absolutely should be charged with premeditated murder because of the lives that were lost with this invasion, with this insurrection. And so, yes, we are threatened, but we can't back up. We've got to fight as hard as we can to see to it that there's some justice. For the president of the United States to sit and watch the invasion and the insurrection and not say a word because he knew that he had absolutely initiated it. And as some of them said, he invited us to come. We're here at the invitation of the president.
Now, friends, did you listen to what she had to say? She said, we have to fight. And that's the very thing that the very word President Trump used. For her, it's okay. For him, it's not. Rick, this is off the charts when she's talking about premeditated murder.
There is zero basis in facts or reality, Jim. I mean, these people are absolutely creating an alternative universe. It's the apex of political theater. It's fake. It's unbelievable. The scary thing is that it's masterfully done.
Yes.
I mean, this is acting and writing worthy of an Academy Award. I mean, it's shocking to watch. But I'm almost impressed. I mean, and not just Maxine Waters. I'm talking about the attorneys, the impeachment managers on the floor. The things that they're saying, the hyperbole. I mean, and the thing that bothers me the most is they start off with saying, "This is about truth. This is grounded in truth. These are facts. We can't." Yeah, you know, and then they write immediately after that, make statements like it was the worst disaster in history. What was the word she just used? The invasion? Are you kidding me? Invasion? And then they say it's the greatest betrayal of the presidential oath in history.
Yeah.
That he's singularly responsible. These are libelous statements. Yeah. They're not just exaggerations. They're absolute lies. They're connecting dots that don't exist. That they are taking statements of the president and referring, using them and implying them to completely different facts and circumstances that he actually said them about. I got to tell you, I'm in shock as I listen to this stuff.
Yeah.
It is truly an alternative universe, a new world with new rules, and they're so crafty and so deceptive. They cloak their fantasy with just enough kernels of truth and actual facts that they're fooling a ton of people. I mean, including at least one U.S. senator who switched his vote based on their video and their opening statements and just literally totally changed reality of the facts. So it is truly shocking just how far they're willing to go.
Now, keep in mind, Maxine Waters just used the word fight herself, and she's the one who had this big rally some time ago encouraging the mobs that were surrounding her to get in the faces of cabinet members, you know, interrupt them and do this and do that. I mean, this is the same Maxine Waters. This is the same Nancy Pelosi who encouraged and commended what happened in Wisconsin some 10 years ago with Governor Scott Walker in Act 10 when our Capitol was stormed by near anarchists to stop things from happening in our government system. They praised that, and it is so double-faced, double-tongued in all of this, Rick. But tell you what, we'll talk more about this trial, but let's talk with one of the basic questions. Is this thing going on in the Senate even constitutional to begin with?
Of course not. It's unambiguous what the Constitution says about this. And just one more thing about the rhetoric itself.
Yeah.
Find me a politician in America at any level of government that has not ever said, let's fight for what we believe in.
Right.
That is perfectly normal language used by everyone that runs for office that is involved in any cause. We talk about fighting for our cause. Every word the president used is perfectly normal political language. He said to be patriotic and peaceable, to cheer on our congressmen, to defend what we believe in. I mean, all of these things. So it is such a shame because it is criminalizing free speech. It is taking us down a path we do not want to go as a nation. And even those, I don't care if you're on the left or the right, the center, wherever you are, the results of this are not something you want to live in, and so that brings us to the constitutionality, which is another thing we don't want to see happen in our country: the loss of the rule of law.
Yes.
And that's we're essentially saying here that the rule book that we have as a constitutional republic does not matter; that we can twist that thing into anything we want it to be. This trial is more fitting of a banana republic than a constitutional republic. And the reason our founders chose a constitutional republic was to have the rules in writing so there would be stability, so that everyone would know this is how it's going to work. And to turn around now and the way these impeachment managers have taken a phrase here or a phrase there from the Constitution and tried to connect them to create this new version of what is allowable under our system while completely ignoring phrases that are connected and that are required to work together and try to separate them. I hate to keep using the word, it is a masterful piece of deception.
Rick, I am looking at Article 2, Section 4 of the Constitution. It says, the President, Vice President, and all civil officers in the United States shall be removed from office on impeachment for and conviction of treason, bribery, or other high crimes and misdemeanors. How can anyone read this and not understand that president means president? It doesn't say former president.
That's right. It says the president. That word means something. And the vice president, civil officers, these are people that are in office at the time. And to make that even more clear, it says removal from office there. It also says it in Article 1, Section 3. And they tried this sleight of hand. They didn't try it. They successfully used this sleight of hand where they basically said, zeroed in on the, quote, all impeachments. And so, therefore, the Senate has this power to try all impeachments. But they never talked about impeachment can only be for certain people. So by using the term all impeachments, now they act like impeachment of anyone is allowed, and then once it's done, that then the Senate gets to use its power. But we've lost this concept of jurisdiction and authority, yeah, because impeachment is not for just anyone. This is the wrong tool in the wrong governmental body at the wrong time using the wrong authority. Well, and our Constitution couldn't be more clear about it.
No, not at all. And impeachment was for the purpose of removing from office. How do you remove someone from office who's not in office?
Right.
You know, also in this, the left is saying this, hey, hold on a second. Rick, don't you know this? We got president. And they take us back to an 1876 impeachment of the Secretary of War. Does this apply? Is this an apples-to-apples comparison?
Even if their description of that scenario was accurate, just because Congress did something the wrong way and then unconstitutional in 1876 certainly would not legitimize it for today. Congress does things that are unconstitutional all the time, and we should not model that or repeat it. We try our best to try and correct that. My argument is that look, if you want to say that this is a debatable issue and there are experts on all sides, okay, fine. Well, then how do we find the answer? Well, if there's a question of constitutional authority, Thomas Jefferson and James Madison told us, anytime there's a question on construction of the Constitution, you go back to the spirit manifested in the debates. In other words, you get in the time machine, you go back to when the Constitution was created at the Constitutional Convention in 1787, you go back to that first Congress in 1789 when the Bill of Rights was debated, you go to the states where the ratification debates took place, and they said you don't try to create something out of the text, you don't try to squeeze a meaning out of the text or invent a meaning against the text, you conform to the probable one that was manifested in those debates. So I say all of that to say, if we are faced with multiple scenarios, like 1876, like you mentioned, this former Secretary of War, who, by the way, was acquitted, but still they did decide that you could impeach him even though he resigned and was no longer in office. Well, okay, they got it wrong. Let's go back to 1799, when you still had signers of the Constitution in the Congress. In fact, you had signers of the Constitution and the Declaration. It was only 12 years after the Constitution had been framed. And an actual signer of the Constitution was the one being impeached, William Blunt. And he was defended by an actual signer of the Constitution, Jared Ingersoll. And he goes before the Senate. He was a senator that had gotten involved in a land scam. The Senate removed him, perfectly constitutional. There's another part of the Constitution where the Senate can remove a member with two-thirds, or the House can remove a member with two-thirds. Well, they had done that. And the House decided they still wanted to impeach him. And so they did the impeachment. It goes over to the Senate, and people need to realize impeachment is not a conviction. It's just an indictment. And then it goes over to the Senate for an actual trial and a conviction. And the Senate asked this very question we're talking about right now and said, can we impeach? Can we convict someone that's no longer in office? He's not a civil officer. He's not the president, and he's not the vice president. He's not in one of those three categories that you just read, Jim, out of Article 2, Section 4. And the Senate, after hearing the arguments of a signer of the Constitution, Jared Ingersoll, who they respected as one of the framers, a Senate comprised with some of the signers of the Constitution and Declaration, said, absolutely not. This is crazy. If we can impeach this guy, that means we can impeach anybody. And that's what we're faced with right now. If they move forward with a conviction of an impeachment, even moving forward with the trial itself, by voting that they could move forward with this trial, Jim, you could be impeached next. I could be impeached next.
Folks, unbelievable. It's happening right now before our very eyes in the United States Senate. We're going to take a quick one-minute break. We'll be right back. Rick Green is our guest today here on Crosstalk as the second impeachment trial is underway. Stay with us.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, now, I've heard that sometimes germs evolve. Is this true?
Chris, this is a common claim that some germs acquire the ability to infect certain new species, or maybe they become resistant to drugs. But this is not evolution. In fact, it's really devolution, the loss of ability or the loss of genes to accomplish a certain purpose. A recent study showed that the whooping cough bacteria lost a certain suite of genes, which caused the animal host immune system not to recognize it. Now, a new animal can be infected, but is this evolution? What happens here is the loss of genes, not the gain of genes as evolution needs. What results is death, not life. While it doesn't fit the evolution view, it does fit the creation followed by the fall and the curse view, and that's the Back to Genesis view.
Thanks for tuning in to Back to Genesis.
We're speaking with Rick Green today here on Crosstalk, a constitutional expert. He's a former representative in the state of Texas, founder of the leadership group, A Patriot Academy. And we're talking about this second impeachment trial that is underway here at this point. Rick, there is a clause, I know you're familiar with it, in the 14th Amendment and Section 3 that is trying to be utilized here. Let's see, this says, no person shall be a senator or representative in Congress or elector of president and vice president or hold any office, civil or military, under the U.S. or under any state who, having previously taken an oath as a member of Congress, an officer in the United States, or a member of the state legislature, or as an executive or judicial officer of any state to support the Constitution of the United States, shall have engaged in insurrection or rebellion against the same, or given aid or comfort to the enemies thereof, but Congress may, by a vote of 2/3 of each house, remove such disability. So again, this is what they're saying. Hey, this gives us constitutional authority to go ahead and try the president of the United States, or, well, former president at this point.
Yeah, you know, once again, they're connecting pieces of the Constitution not intended to work together. Impeachment has nothing to do with this clause in the 14th Amendment, and this clause in the 14th Amendment has nothing to do with impeachment. This would require some sort of adjudication, which we don't really know how that would work, because this was intended for those who had participated in the Civil War from the Confederacy. It was clearly aimed directly at them. Obviously, it's still in the Constitution. So, yeah, if somebody was convicted of participating in an insurrection like that, then yeah, sure, you could use this clause. But how in the world are they convicted of that? There's nothing in the Constitution that ties this to an impeachment trial. So it's really creative. I'll tell you, it's creative on their part to pull this one in. They started talking about this one about a week and a half ago. And my concern is that if they use this, the reason they're falling back to this is they know they can't get the 2/3, and they're going to come up with a system, because it's all they're making this up as they go. They're going to come up with the idea that they can convict based on this with just 51 votes. And that's why they're starting to talk about the 14th Amendment, is so that they can create this new process. I mean, this has never been done. This would be totally uncharted territory. And I think the concern is, how does this Section 3 even implement it? Is it a resolution by the House and Senate? And if so, is it a 51% resolution? Where's the due process? When does this person actually have a conviction on that issue? Anyway, it's intriguing to me as a guy that loves history and the Constitution, but boy, it's dangerous.
Yes, it is dangerous, and it does not follow our Constitution. By the way, listeners, do you know the Constitution? Do you have a copy? Do you know how to refer to it? It is a very brief read, folks, but it's very impactful. We have this in a little booklet called Documents of Freedom. It includes the Declaration of Independence. You see all the signers there, the Constitution of the United States, the Bill of Rights, all the amendments, and George Washington's farewell address. We have these available through Crosstalk, our way of saying thank you for your support of $5 or more. We've had people who have obtained multiple copies of these in order to have, to distribute, to get to your kids, college students, family members, fellow church members. You can contact our switchboard here at 1-800-729-9829, ask for Documents of Freedom, or go to vcyamerica.org. You'll find it there, vcyamerica.org. But, Rick, it's really critical for us to, you know, we say that's not constitutional. We need to have this document to know for sure that's what it says.
Jim, no doubt about it, and I'm so glad you have Washington's farewell address in there. My good friend Jerry Newcomb had an article just today. I shared it on social media. It's on WorldNet Daily, but it's quoting from that speech, from that farewell address, where Washington warned against exactly what we're experiencing right now. And if you don't mind, I'm just going to read this. He said, the alternative, the domination of one faction over another, sharpened by the spirit of, get this, Jim, revenge, natural to party dissension, which in different ages and countries has perpetuated the most horrid enormities, is itself a frightful despotism. But this leads at length to a more formal and permanent despotism. The disorders and miseries which result gradually incline the minds of men to seek security and repose in the absolute power of an individual, and sooner or later the chief of some prevailing faction, more able or more fortunate than his competitors, turns this disposition to the purposes of his own elevation on the ruins of public liberty. This warning from George Washington fits exactly what they're doing right now. Their spirit of revenge is causing them to foam at the mouth. Their blind hatred of not just Donald Trump, but the entire movement, is causing them to use this incredibly extreme rhetoric, to take these extreme unconstitutional steps, and that leads to despotism, and it will lead to this one-party control, this one-faction control, and ultimately to one individual if we're not careful. It's amazing to me that Washington was that he saw that 240 years ago or 230 years ago and warned us about it, and now we're living it out.
And folks, that farewell address is in this booklet, Documents of Freedom. It's pocket size, fits handy in a pocket or purse. Again, a donation of $5. We'll send that to you. That includes postage, everything. Just go to vcyamerica.org or 1-800-729-9829. Rick, doesn't the non-involvement of the U.S. Supreme Court in this matter speak volumes?
It does. It's another example of them picking and choosing. They're literally chopping up the Constitution and using the parts they want. It's very obvious in Article 1, Section 3 that if the president is being impeached, which they're claiming that they're doing, even though he's not the president but a former president, that you have to have the Chief Justice there. And the Chief Justice has refused to participate in this show trial. I don't know what went on behind the scenes in that, but I think, you know, as bad as he's been on some of his decisions on the Supreme Court, at least he knows the plain text of the Constitution.
Yeah.
Would require him only to preside when it's actually the president. But it's like I said, it's an alternative universe. And the crazy part is how they can pick and choose the way that they are, and stand there not shameful, but act like they're the purveyors of truth and that they're the ones trying to hold the country together by preventing this supposed insurrection for the president. It's just the most hypocritical thing I've ever seen in our history. I don't think that's hyperbole. I think that's frankly a Marxist tactic.
They have
projected onto the other side what you're actually doing yourself.
They have chosen a partisan senator who voted to impeach President Trump the first time as the one to preside over this trial. I mean, that should shock us, folks. It should compel this nation to see how truly biased this so-called trial is.
Yeah, and in fact, it would be like having, if you were indicted, if somebody claimed that you did something, whether and let's say you didn't do it, but yet they're taking you to the trial, and the judge has already held a press conference and said, this guy's guilty, and hasn't even seen the facts yet, hasn't had the trial yet, none of that's happened, but goes into the trial saying that you're guilty and you should be convicted. That's what we're facing right now.
Yeah.
That's what the President of the United States is facing. That's how absurd this is, and how much of a banana republic situation it is. It is actually, show trial is the better analogy.
Mm-hmm.
It is like Stalin's show trials in the 1930s. And in fact, it's similar in another regard. You know, we hear about these 150 constitutional experts saying that this is okay and that it's constitutional. Well, what a magic number. It just so happens that in the 1930s show trials of Stalin, that 150 entertainers in America, which some of these experts, that's pretty much what they are, is entertainers, that 150 entertainers in America came out with a letter supporting Stalin and his show trials, saying, you know, that America should support this. It's due process. It's good law and order. And it was all to consolidate power and silence his opposition and create his dictatorship. It is eerily similar to have the parroting and the support of the press as they did in the show trials back then as well. And that's the problem. You don't have a truly independent press that would poke holes in these arguments and actually point out the hypocrisy. So they get away with the hypocrisy because it's just parroted by the media.
There was an opportunity yesterday for senators to stand up and put a stop to this, saying, hey, this violates our Constitution. Yet, not only did all 50 Democrat senators yesterday vote to say this was constitutional, they were joined by 6 Republicans who crossed the aisle siding with the Democrats. I'm talking about Bill Cassidy of Louisiana, Susan Collins of Maine, Lisa Murkowski of Alaska, Mitt Romney of Utah, Ben Sasse of Nebraska, and Pat Toomey of Pennsylvania. What's your take on this?
Well, you know, look, I mean, 5 of those 6 had voted that way last week when Rand Paul, thank God for Rand Paul, stood up and said this is unconstitutional, and he forced a vote on it, and 45 senators said absolutely this is not constitutional. But 5 Republicans that have been never Trumpers from day one, they're also foaming at the mouth to get rid of Donald Trump and prevent him from ever coming back on the scene. The one that surprised me was that Cassidy switched his vote, that he went from last week saying this is an unconstitutional show trial to 1 week later saying, yeah, this is okay. And he claimed it was because the impeachment managers made a better constitutional argument than the defense attorneys did. Well, the Constitution hasn't changed in a week, and he's a U.S. senator. He should know the Constitution. And he's been looking at this, I'm sure, and his staff looking at this. So what changed, Senator? What changed that suddenly an unconstitutional show trial became constitutional? Did you let the rhetoric and the smoke and mirrors of these impeachment managers actually fool you? You should see through, you should see through that. You're not. So, I mean, it's embarrassing. You almost expect sometimes someone that knows nothing about politics or government or the Constitution to be fooled by the silver tongued trial lawyer that gets up and talks about those things. But a U.S. senator, I mean, that's embarrassing.
I want to bring up another point that little media is talking about. It was a story on CNSNews.com, and they pointed out that Representative Jared Huffman, who, according to a 2017 article in the Washington Post, called himself a non-believer, he posted written remarks in the Congressional Record January 13th that described the rioters who stormed the Capitol on January 6th as including people who carried, and I quote, thousands of Jesus signs, banners, and flags. I don't think for a moment here, Rick, that this reference to Jesus signs is accidental, but rather deliberate. Any thoughts on that?
Oh, he's not the only one. I mean, I've heard that rhetoric. It continues to be since January 6th an effort to label constitutional conservatives, certainly Christian conservatives, as domestic terrorists and all kinds of other extremist terms. It is an effort to silence those of us that participate in politics because of our faith, that we're literally living out that faith. And for the left, they know that is a threat to their socialist Marxist agenda and the way that they want to remake America, because they know that the nation was built on biblical principles. They know that those of us that are trying to be salt and light in the community, that our viewpoint and the biblical viewpoint is the exact opposite of the socialist Marxist utopian state that they want to create. And so they have been, again, I mean, I hate to keep complimenting them, but they have been very shrewd and very masterful at using what happened on January 6th to try to move their agenda forward and to silence us.
And the flames are being fanned here. I see Bill Maher chiming in, calling the events of January 6th as being a faith-based initiative. In his comments, he went on to mock the Book of Revelation, and Scripture tells us about mocking and scoffing in the last days as well here. But we're really seeing the liberal left chiming in to make this even a religious issue, or somehow mock or poke fun of Christianity or of Jesus or of Scripture itself.
Yeah, no doubt about it, and that's their way of branding. And again, man, it is like 1930s all over again. And this time in our nation, rather than in Germany or in Russia. And I mean, some people might consider that to be an exaggeration, but boy, if you're a student of freedom, you know, if you go back and you look at early 1930s, it was very much like America. They had freedom of speech and freedom of all these things, and enjoyed those things until this type of partisanship stepped in and this type of rhetoric, and they got their Rostock fire, and it changed everything.
So what can people do? We'll be discussing that in our next segment here. Our guest today is Rick Green, a constitutional expert, a former Texas state representative, founder of the leadership group Patriot Academy. Back in 1 minute, you're listening to Crosstalk.
Throughout history, most nations have been ruled by kings. Power which concentrates into the hands of one person, however, often rewards his friends and punishes his enemies. The King of England was the most powerful king the planet had seen. So when Americans got the chance, they set up a government as far from a king as possible. A republic where the people are king, ruling through their representatives. So how do republics rise and fall? How do countries succumb to communist dictators? These and other issues are addressed in the book, Who is the King in America?, written by William Federer. You'll discover what makes America unique and the keys to preserving our freedoms. Who is the King in America? Is available for a donation of $18. A DVD of Bill's teaching on the same topic is also available for $18, or if you'd like them both, a donation of just $30. Call 1-800-729-9829. 1-800-729-9829.
program is called Crosstalk. It comes your way weekdays here on the VCY American Network. And thank you, local stations, for carrying this broadcast, keeping your listeners informed. What can we do? I'll get to that question in just a moment. I came across something else here. It was in the New American, but indicated, this is another interesting aspect here, Rick. Apple refused to give the FBI encrypted data from a phone belonging to Muslim terrorists who killed 14 people. Google refused to do artificial intelligence work for the Pentagon, but then did work helping China censor its own people. But Bank of America had no problem handing over the private information of innocent customers to federal investigators on a witch hunt for capital riot to so-called right-wing extremists. We understand they've turned over the individuals who made credit card transactions in Washington, D.C. on that day. Those who had housing and buying food and so forth, that should be frightening to the American people.
Oh, again, the hypocrisy is off the charts, but also, like you said, I mean, the frightening aspect of it, the police state that this leads to, the snitching. You know, it began with COVID and governors all over the country asking their constituents to snitch on their neighbors if they weren't wearing a face diaper or some other violation of the governor's edicts that were not laws, but edicts. And now we see the same thing. Now we're asking companies to snitch on their customers. And I love the fact that you pointed out, I mean, this was the same type of activity that these companies refused to participate in when we were dealing with terrorists.
Yes.
And that's why they use that term. They try to create this image of, if you were there praying at the rally in Washington, D.C. on January 6th and worshiping and peacefully, you know, talking about how much you loved our nation, that somehow now you're thrown in with these agitators and thugs that actually broke things at the Capitol. And it's that mix, again, of just enough kernels of truth, right? They show the images. That's how that video was in the Senate when they played that. You know, they show all this awful stuff happening that every one of us have spoken out against and said was bad. And then they try to connect that to the president when it's completely unrelated. It would be like saying that Tom Brady is somehow guilty because people celebrated in Tampa after the Super Bowl, and he somehow called them to the celebration by asking them to celebrate, but then some people got drunk or whatever and started breaking things, and he's responsible for that. I mean, it's absurd. It's
yes.
Absolutely absurd what they're connecting here.
People all across this nation are plain fed up, as you know, Rick, and are wondering, what can I do? I mean, can I have my voice heard somehow in this kangaroo court process? Some have described that as a kangaroo court process. What can I do?
Yeah, it's definitely a kangaroo court process. Back when they named Leahy instead of Chief Justice Roberts, it became more kangarooish by
yes.
the day. Listen, I think people have to realize Washington, D.C. is off the rails right now, and there it's going to be that way for a while. That we're looking at a very rough couple of years, and this show trial is just indicative of that. And so you have to, instead of throwing up your hands and saying I can't do anything, you have to say, since I can't impact what's happening there, what can I do on the local level and on the state level? And there's some very real things that will make a very real difference. They're not overnight. It takes time. This is a generational struggle that we're in, and it took us, you know, 50 years to get into this position of complete civic ignorance, where we don't know our rights, we don't know how the system's supposed to work, we don't know our jurisdiction, so we don't know if the Senate's supposed to do this, or the judiciary, if the federal government's supposed to do something, or the state government. Who has authority? Those are major questions that need to be answered. So I'll recommend a couple things. One may sound biased, but it's to take our Constitution class. We have a biblical citizenship class. It's called Biblical Citizenship in Modern America, and that's exactly what we address. How should government work? What is the design? And how do we, as citizens that are biblical, how do we become salt and light? What's the proper way to influence our neighborhood, our communities, our state, our nation? And so we walk through that, and we restore those constitutional jurisdictions, and we give people ways to make a difference in their community. So that's number one. Just get educated yourself. Start reading. Get that pocket constitution from the show and start reading through the Constitution. Read the Declaration. Read why the founders declared their independence and what the philosophy of this nation was from the beginning. And then read the Constitution so you know the rule book. Read that farewell address by George Washington so that you can heed his warnings and be on the outlook for the kind of stuff that's happening now. And then go testify at your state legislature, at your school board. If your local school board is teaching this critical race theory, communist stuff that's dividing and divisive, then go testify at that school board and say, what are you doing? You're destroying our nation. Why would we teach our children that our nation is evil when we've been the greatest, most powerful, most free, most benevolent nation in history. So go find ways to let your voice be heard, whether it's on social media or testifying at the school board or at the state legislature. And lastly, I'll say, Jim, long-term, when I say long-term, I mean, you know, a 2 to 10 year plan. We have to shift the power back from the feds to the states and the local government.
Yes.
The nation is too big for this one-size-fits-all federal government that the founding fathers never wanted to see. They never wanted the feds to be making the decisions they're making about our lives. They should only be dealing with external issues, as the founders put it. The states should be dealing with internal issues. And so we've got to get that shift of power. That's only going to happen if we do it, we the states, and you do it peaceably through a convention of states, just like Article 5 in the Constitution says. It's the only solution big enough for the problems that we face. So the formula is out there for freedom. The solutions are there, but it starts with us becoming educated ourselves. If we don't know, and we're we the people, if we don't know, we can't expect our leaders to know, and we can't expect them to act within that rule book.
And your website?
ConstitutionCoach.com. ConstitutionCoach.com. And by the way, everything we're talking about here is free. We give away these courses for free. You can host it at your church. You can have two people in your living room or 1,000 people at your church. It's still free.
ConstitutionCoach.com. Our phone number is available here to Crosstalk. Taking your questions today for Rick Green, a brief comment. Our number, 800-733-9829. Your questions, brief comments, 800-733-9829. One other thing here, Rick, as calls begin to come in here, and that is we kept hearing from now President Biden about unifying this nation. We need to come together. There's been too much division. He's been, calling for unification, but at the same time, he's been an advocate for what's going on right now in this impeachment trial against President Trump, a unconstitutional trial. How does he unify the nation when he's supporting what's going on?
Yeah, again, it's that masterful political theater. Say one thing and do another. You know, act like we're going to be unifying while your vice president has been helping to bail out people that were burning our cities across the nation, and then act like the president is the one that's inciting riots. It's just that projection to your opposition. It's worked extremely well for them. But I had hoped that he would be willing, once he had the office and was in the White House, be more willing to be more like a Bill Clinton that would, someone I didn't agree with on politics at all, but was much better at the rhetoric being something that would tend to bring people together, even as he pushed his agenda forward. Whereas this president, he just wants to silence the opposition. He does not want Donald Trump to be able to run for office again. He does not want pro-life folks to have a say. He's going to do it all through his executive orders. He's ruling as a dictator right now. He's ruling through executive orders, and it's so hypocritical
because he said himself
a month before the election that he didn't have the power to do that, and that he would get consensus and run things through the legislature, and yet here he is with the stroke of his pen.
Yeah, and folks, he talked about you can't rule with executive orders. That's a dictator. And yet he has signed more executive orders than President Trump and former President Obama together in those first number of days of office. Our phone lines are packed. Susan in Milwaukee, you're on the air.
Hi. Several quick things. Antifa was there decked out in Trump gear. We've heard that from a number of people who called in. And then has he ever heard of a man named Mr. Constitution? He was there for 2 days before. He witnessed a whole bunch of stuff. And then one more thing. I think the whole purpose of this make-believe riot was for an excuse to get those Rhino Republicans to cave, to not have an inquiry, a 10-day inquiry into the voting.
Okay, thank you, Susan. We're going to have our guest comment. And, one of the things, and video clips, evidence showed people that were putting on Trump gear over their clothing so that they could go in under disguise.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I missed up. I couldn't understand for sure who she was talking about, if she knew that. But the last part that she said, I caught, and totally agree with that. The effort to They reversed what actually happened that day. The people that stormed the Capitol, they actually got what they wanted. They stopped the objections. They stopped the discussion. The ones that wanted that to happen were the Trump supporters. The Trump supporters wanted there to be discussion, wanted there to be debate, and yet the people that stormed the Capitol put a stop to that. And there's no question that there were agitators. They've been arrested. I mean, it's already been proven. They were BLM and Antifa folks. No doubt there were foolish, people that claimed to be Trump supporters as well. Every political movement has, it's crazy as we see in every movement. The difference here is we had one incident here that involved a lot of Antifa and BLM people and some crazy Trump supporters. One incident, one night. Nobody came back the next night and rioted it again, and the next night, and the next night, and the next night, like we've seen with Antifa and BLM all over the country, still today trying to burn cities, and still today rioting, and yet you hear nothing from Joe Biden and Kamala Harris about that, nothing from Chuck Schumer and all these people wringing their hands and talking about the worst disaster in history and the greatest betrayal. I mean, it's unbelievable. Yeah. They ignore all of that and focus in on this one afternoon, which was horrible. Nobody's denying that. Yeah. That's what's so crazy.
Yet you had Kamala Harris that promoted the fund that was providing the bail for rioters to be released. Let's go to Mark in Monroe. You're on the air.
Yes, this is my comment. The U.S. does not have an existing Department of Justice. It has been totally taken out of the equation. And you're not going to have any original founder establishment that's been stolen by the current Biden establishment. And my point is he has resorted back to the previous, what I would call the Barack Obamianism establishment. Hmm. That's my comment.
Okay. Any response there, Rick?
Yeah, I mean, you could see it with the appointments. I mean, as soon as he started appointing all the folks that basically right back out of the Obama administration, it's essentially a third term for the Obama team. And that is a team, let's not forget, that said they were going to radically transform our nation.
Yes.
And they continue to do so. I think the Department of Justice has definitely failed us. I frankly think Bill Barr failed us in the last few months of the Trump presidency. And, frankly, throughout the rioting, I think the Department of Justice should have done more and the FBI should have done more. But I haven't given up as much as I think the caller might. It sounds like he has. And I want to encourage him and say, look, there's always dark times. There's always difficult times. It's what we do with that really matters. And let's not forget that when, all of us have the coffee mug or the pillow or whatever that says, I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and all the good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They were marching off to 70 years of captivity when they were told that. So even if we've got tough times ahead, even if we've got a major struggle ahead of us to restore our constitutional republic, let's keep that in mind. God is in charge.
Amen.
And our duty doesn't change. Our duty is the same no matter who's in prison. Our strategies, our particular area of being that salt and light may change, but duty is ours. Results are God's.
Amen. We'll be back in 1 minute. Rick Green, our guest here today. By the way, his website is constitutioncoach.com, constitutioncoach.com. And if you'd like to obtain that, the handy-sized booklet, Documents of Freedom, you can go online, vcyamerica.org, or contact our switchboard at 1-800-729-9829. We'll be right back.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. I'm pleased to announce that the docu-movie Absolute Proof is available for you to watch free of charge at wvwtv.com/proof. This is not a political documentary. This is an educational documentary to preserve our republic for all people. This shows what happened with the cyber attack on our election cycle by enemies, foreign and domestic. It was produced as executive producers by myself, Brandon House, Mike Lindell, and Mary Fanning. We filmed it and post-edited this in 6 days. It was a Herculean achievement for the American people and for our religious liberty, economic freedom, and God-given rights. I hope you'll spread it far and wide and watch this educational public service documentary. WVWTV.com/proof. That's WVWTV.com/proof.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Mark Green is with us here today. The second impeachment trial underway, and taking your questions, brief comments. Let's get to Olney, Illinois. George, you're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call. I'd like to make a comment. The absolute proof of election fraud, and we, the American people that see that, it's clear that the demons in the Republican and Democratic Party are out to crucify him before he has a chance to claim his rifle. Hmm. 4 years.
Thank you, George, for that. This is Mike Lindell, who made this special. Very compelling, is it not, Rick?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of what he covers in the special, we already knew, but nobody was getting the information out. You know, mm-hmm. You were, you know, dependent on your sources. But then he had some new stuff in there as well. And of course, I've always said, regardless of whether you can prove the computer fraud and the electronic fraud, which I think he had some great evidence for that, even if you can't prove that, there was plenty of frankly, public statements and public moves by these governors and secretaries of state where they changed election law unconstitutionally.
Yes.
And that alone was enough to reject those electors from those four or five states that did that. But the fraud, you know, claims, I think, continue to pile up. And, you know, courts have not heard them for the most part. And now we may or may not ever see that. I mean, I understand there's some cases still moving forward. And we may get a chance to finally prove it in a court somewhere. We have to keep pushing. And that's another reason why the overreaction to January 6th and trying to completely silence the opposition prevents the prosecution of the election fraud from going forward. And I guarantee you there's a lot of people hoping that they can shut down all of those investigations.
I understand the U.S. Supreme Court at an upcoming Friday conference is considering even taking up some of these vote fraud related cases as well. So
yes,
that's something to be praying about here, too. Let's see, Jane is next in Wisconsin. You're on the air.
Yeah, I was going to say about his speech. They say they get so upriled about it. I would have said peacefully, peaceably, and patriotically.
Okay, thank you, Jane. And I think he used similar words, Rick, in his speech.
Almost exactly. Yep. Be peaceable, be patriotic. He used exactly those words. And let's not forget, Jim, the timeline, right? I mean, even in the video the Democrats showed at the opening of the Senate trial, the video actually shows that he's still on stage speaking when the people that breached the Capitol.
Mm.
It's a 25-minute walk from where he was and where the rally was to get to the Capitol. So the people that pre-planned this, and now they're trying to act like Donald Trump knew about and was almost colluding with them.
Yeah, that he pre-planned it.
Yeah, that he pre-planned it. And again, connecting dots that don't exist, and by taking a kernel of truth that, yeah, there's often threats of crazies planning crazy things. So what did he do? He said, let's have 10,000 troops there to make sure this thing's protected. Donald Trump was the one asking for that to happen, and the leadership at the Capitol refused it time and time again. And we've all seen the video of, in some areas, the Capitol Police literally letting people in. And so it's still confusing what actually happened that day. But to say that Donald Trump was colluding with the planners and that it was his speech that caused it is an absolute distortion, creating a new reality.
Thank you for the call. Herbert is next in Mobile, Alabama. You're on the air, Herbert.
Yes, I am trying to see what's going on here in this day and time that such a man like this could come up, not necessarily out of nowhere, but as far as Christians are concerned, beguile our minds and change our minds and twist our minds and get us so crazy that we just want to follow him no matter what he does, no matter what he says. I mean, we've had
let's define our terms. Are you talking about President Trump, that he twisted people's minds?
Yes, because we've had great Republicans before Christian Republicans, outspoke Christian Republicans,
mm-hmm.
and people are not just following him and not covering up all the bad and foul
Herbert,
things
how,
that he said over and over again. I mean, just bad,
okay,
bad, disrespectful.
Herbert, how did hello, Herbert? Please listen. Let's have some dialogue here. How did President Trump just spout off wrong, wrong things over and over again? How did he twist people's minds?
Because you're covering over in and everything and in the bad thing. He said all kind of vulgar language. A true Christian don't follow no one like that.
Okay. Thank you, Herbert, for your call. Any response here, Rick?
Yeah, Herbert, there is none righteous, no, not one. And if you can find me a perfect politician, I will gladly support them. But, you're always going to vote for the lesser of two evils. There is none righteous, no, not one. We're all flawed jars of clay. I can tell you, I was not a Trump supporter in 2016 for many of the reasons that you raised right there. Not that I thought there was someone else that was more perfect, but that there were candidates that didn't do some of the things that you're talking about, even though they had other flaws. And that's part of the deal, man. We're always going to have flawed candidates. I was wrong about Donald Trump. He turned out to be the most pro-life, most pro-religious liberty, pro-Christian biblical policies president of my lifetime. And it's a weird package. I agree with you. I mean, it's wild who God can use. I mean, he used an adulterer and a murderer in David. In King David, he used all kinds of prostitutes and others throughout the Bible, and it's amazing how he can take flawed men like myself and Jim and you, Herbert, and everybody else, and still use us to do good things. And I think he did that with Donald Trump. I certainly don't defend some of the things that Donald Trump has done in his life, but I definitely defend the actions that he took as president because they were biblical actions. They followed a biblical view of what government should look like. Not perfect, no, absolutely not. But best president of my lifetime, yeah, I'll stand behind that. And I'm a big Ronald Reagan fan. So for me to say that's a big deal.
Thank you for the call, Herbert. Gabriel in Pensacola, you're on the air.
Hi. So I just wanted to talk about the D.C. riots, and I wanted to take a look at it as a neutral standpoint.
Okay, we got 30 seconds. Quickly with your question.
Okay, so it's not a question, it's a comment.
Okay.
If you were to replace everyone at the Capitol who rioted and attacked the Capitol, mm-hmm. and you replace it with Middle Eastern or foreign domesticated individuals, I don't believe that Republicans would look at this as a standpoint of justice or excitement or whatever.
However. Okay, tell you what, our closing music is running. Rick, a final comment.
Yeah, he may not have ever heard any of our responses to what happened at the Capitol. I've been mm-hmm. saying from day one they should be arrested, thrown in jail. They should be punished in the same way, no matter what the color of their skin, no matter where they came from. If you were part of actually damaging the Capitol and part of the violence, you deserve to be treated just like a BLM and Antifa activist all over the country that did the same thing.
Thank you, Gabriel. We're out of time, and apologize to others holding as well. Rick, thanks for being with us today. ConstitutionCoach.com. Thanks.
Thanks, Jim.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.